Now, did any of you who were at Friston today remember we sang that hymn? And do you remember that actually verse 1 was verse 4? The hymn began, "Once a sinner near despair." And one of the reasons I like to do what we're doing today is, you see, you get the longer verse, the proper version, the original version of hymns. I remember we sang the 18 verses of the Songs of Time of Thinking on one occasion a few years ago. But here we have, in our book, which is a book that tends not to shorten hymns, we've still got three verses missing. And it's good sometimes to sing and get the whole thrust that here Newton was dealing with Jacob, the story of Jacob, and then leads on to "Once a Sinner Near Despair." So that it's good sometimes to be able to read a fuller version of the hymns that were written. One of my favourite scripture stories, but you can just listen to me and not worry about looking at the scripture. I thought that it was too much to read. It's the end of a day. Some of you have been to three services, and I thought simply I would tell the story through the scriptures. You can read it tonight, later on if you want to. Unless you know where it is, I'm not going to tell you where it is. I might at the very end. Abraham was worried. He was concerned. He had talked with the Lord God, and the Lord had promised him that he would have a son. And he was getting on towards 100 years old. His wife was 98. And he prayed to the Lord. He said, "What use is it to me? I've got a steward. He's the only one who's going to inherit my home, and you promised that I would have a son. Nothing's impossible. It's getting impossible." Well, as you know, the Lord gave Abraham a son, Isaac, and he grew up. And the time came when perhaps you ought to consider getting him married. Abraham knew that the son that he was given would have children himself, and children, 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 children down the years, until the Lord Jesus Christ would be born. And therefore it was absolutely important to get the right wife. But there was nobody anywhere in that country, anywhere about where he was, nobody at all who believed and loved the Lord God like he did. Nobody, therefore, to be married to. So what was he going to do? Well, he knew one thing. He had originally come from Ur of the Chaldees. Now, if I can just show you a map, just to give you some idea. There we are. Can you sort of see sufficient of that map? Abraham was now living down in a place called Hebron. He came from Ur of the Chaldees. You can't get across there because it's desert. You just look at the map for a minute, she'll lose it all that I'm saying. He was now down here. He originally came from Ur of the Chaldees, but you can't get down across there because it's desert. You have to go up and all the way down. The two great rivers of the Euphrates and the Tigris, and the land between them was known as Mesopotamia, which means between the rivers. Between the rivers, Mesopotamia. And to go up there and down again was a long way. It was about 550 miles from Ur of the Chaldees to Haran. And Haran was where he'd left his relatives when he'd made the journey from Ur to Haran. And now it was about another 400 miles down this way. So his nearest relatives were 400 miles away. Any of you doing history or ancient geography will know that this area is referred to as the Fertile Crescent. The Fertile Crescent, because all that in between is desert and you can't get through. If you live there, you've got to come all the way up and all the way down, a total of about 900 miles. And Haran, where his relatives were, was about halfway, near enough, give or take a few miles. So Abraham thought about what he was going to do. And then he called to himself his chief steward. Now, when he prayed 20 years and more about the birth of his son Isaac, he said, I only have this steward, this Eliezer of Damascus, to inherit from me. We don't know whether it was the same steward later on. But a steward is a person who is a servant who looks after somebody else's property. A steward is somebody who is responsible for looking after something that belongs to somebody else. And very often you read in the Bible, two or three occasions, that the person in charge had no idea of what he had. Only the steward really knew all the things that belonged to the family house. The steward was a servant, a slave even. But he was very well educated and very, very important. Now we know that Abraham had at least 316 armed men under him, part of his house. And if they had a wife each, more than one child, there would be well over 1,000 in the family business, as it were, of Abraham. So that the chief steward was the most important person in the whole of the family, excepting only Abraham and Sarah and Isaac. He had a position of tremendous responsibility. And this story is about that chief steward. Every Christian, every believer is called in the Bible a steward of the things that belong to God. A minister is a steward. God's people, you and I, belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I am responsible for making available to his people the things that they need to have, the things they need to know, the food they need to have spiritually, and all this sort of thing. The steward in the house, whether it was a Joseph, or whether it's here, the man whose name we're not sure, we know it could be Eliezer, but it might be his successor. Even if the master didn't bother himself with these things, but the steward had to make sure that everybody had their breakfast, everybody had their dinner, everybody had their tea, all the supplies came in, that all the people knew what they were doing in the fields, all the people knew what they were doing about mending clothes, all the people knew absolutely everything, and they all worked harmoniously, and they all were doing the things they ought to do. He had to organise absolutely everything. He was a logistical expert. It is required of stewards, says the scripture, that a man be found faithful. And believers are to be faithful in the helping of one another, the making available to each other the things of that God has provided. So Abraham, by this time, was an old man. The Bible says he was well stricken in age, which tends to mean he was showing his age. And he called this chief steward to him. And they didn't shake hands. There was a different sort of custom in those days. But he swore to his master that he would only take a wife for Isaac from among the family relatives who were 400 miles away. So Abraham sent the chief steward and said, well, get on with it for me. And the first thing we read of the chief steward doing was picking the men he wanted to take with him, the camels he wanted to take with him, the presents that he wanted to take for the bride-to-be if she agreed to come, and all the provisions he'd need for the journey. He didn't have to ask for them. He was in charge of them. but he was very, very honest. He picked the best men. He did all the things right that would assuredly get the thing done rightly. He picked the camels. He got it all straight. He got it all organized. And then he set out on the journey. He had never been that way before. He didn't know the way. I don't know whether there were maps. He knew where he'd got to go to. But he had to use his initiative. He had to find his way to Haran. And he had all these other men. He had to keep them under control. He had to make sure they were disciplined, that they would do exactly as they were told. Why we try to teach children, do exactly as they're told, because there are serious situations out in the desert and other places where if you don't do exactly as you're told, there can be trouble for absolutely everybody. And so he got those men together. But he asked one question before he set out, and he said, now, supposing I find the right young lady, but she doesn't want to come. What do I do? And Abraham said, if she won't come, you may leave it at that. But I don't want Isaac marrying someone that isn't family. Just like we teach in the church now, that a believer should always marry a believer. That's taught consistently through the scriptures. We may think we fall in love with somebody who's not a believer, but it will be the end of us. We will say, well, we'll persuade them to believe. It won't. They'll persuade us to unbelief. And that's always the scripture position, that we marry someone who has the same faith. Because if you can't agree in the most important thing of life, how are you going to agree in everything else? So he knew what he had to do. And as he went along the way, he probably thought to himself about the sort of girl it ought to be, really. As he went along, he prayed. He said, Lord, will you lead me in the right way? And he always prayed, Lord God of my master Abraham. He didn't mean that God wasn't his God. He simply meant that what he was doing was not for himself, but for his master. And I find that very helpful in coming to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we may pray, but he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everything we want is for his glory, not for our benefit. And then you think, is that right? But it is true, isn't it? If the Lord's glory is obtained by anything, blessing on people always follows. If we ask the Lord to bless us, and that's all we ask, but it isn't for his glory, we won't get any blessing. If we seek the Lord's glory, it always follows that the blessing comes. And so this steward, as he went along, prayed, Lord God of my master Abraham. And he prayed that he might have the right journey, that he might find the right way. And off he went. And when he got near to Haran, they didn't have notices up like, you know, drive slowly through our village like we do in these days. Nothing to say, this is Haran. He obviously had to talk along the way and find out where it was. But when he got there, he then began to use his initiative again. He thought, now, where will people be? Where will I meet people? How will I find them? Yes, I know. The well, that's the centre of the village. The well, that's where everybody comes because they all need water. And everybody at some time in the day has to come and draw water. And by tradition, certain people come and draw water at certain times. So he began to pray and he began to think it through. And he said, now how am I going to go about this? And he did this tremendous prayer. He said, when I come to the well, and somebody, one of the daughters of the village, comes and lets down her pitcher, her jug down into the well, and I go up to her and I say to her, "Would you let me drink some of your water?" If she were then to say, "Have a good drink, and when you've had a good drink, I'll get some water for your camels." If she should say that, I'll know that's the person you want to be the wife for Isaac. That's strange. But here was a steward who'd thought about things. What would make the best sort of wife for Isaac? A person who would be willing to provide drink and food? Yes, of course, for the family, for folks. But a person who cared for the animals? A person who cared for all the other things that were necessary to maintain a good family? So behind his prayer, he'd thought it through. What would be best? What sort of girl would be the best? Not that he was making the choice. He was asking that the Lord would work all things together for good in such a way that the right person would come and he would be able to tell if it was right if she fulfilled those conditions. If she didn't, he'd try the next one. Well, you can imagine, can't you? Came, and Rebecca came to the well. And Rebecca began to let down her jug, her pitcher. And he came running up to her. He asked, "Will you give me some of your water when you've drawn it?" I said, "Yeah, gladly. And then I'll get drink for your camels. You look as if you've come a long way." And he was absolutely amazed and full of worship and respect. He could hardly believe that the Lord had done it like this. And he says, "What's your name?" "Oh, I'm Rebecca. I'm the daughter of Bethuel." Bethuel! Brother-in-law to Abraham. And then he went away and he prayed. And he thanked the Lord for leading him. I being in the way, God led me. Not in the way in the sense we use it today, but I being on the right road. I put myself on the road, but God led me. Isn't that wonderful? Do the right things in life, and the Lord will lead you. I being in the way, on the road, the Lord led me. What a wonderful thing it is to know when the Lord leads you. I think of things in my life that have happened that just seem, everything just happened right a fraction afterwards and the whole thing would have been missed. Things happen like that. I was just coming out of the house yesterday and Brandon was coming home with Grandma and Granddad, been away for the week. And just as I was coming, and just before I turned down the path, the car came along, didn't it? A second earlier, we wouldn't have missed. A second later, we wouldn't have seen each other. That was no great important thing, no great big deal. But if it serves to stick in our minds that when it really counts, that is what the Lord does. When people are to meet, when people are to do great enterprises, the Lord, when prayed to, works all things together for good to them who are the called according to his purpose. The world calls them coincidences. Just like we don't believe in luck, we don't believe in coincidences. We believe in better than luck. We believe that the Lord positively out. We don't believe in coincidences. We believe that the Lord works all things much better than luck. And this is what this steward understood to see happening in his life. Come in and meet my brother Laban. So he went home. And they were all pleased to meet him. And when you read this particular chapter, it's a wonderful art of storytelling. He tells the whole story again, he starts the story. That's why it's got 67 verses of all that he'd done up to that time and everything that he'd done. And the story is tremendously interesting. But he explains how Abraham had sent him and how he'd done the journey and how he prayed to the Lord and how it had all worked out. And now he comes and he says, Abraham wants a wife for Isaac. And bearing in mind all the things that we pray for and all the circumstances, may we invite Rebecca. And if we invite her, will she come? They were all very hungry. And they'd all been invited to sit down to dinner. And dinner was on the table, and nobody was eating. Because this steward said, I'm not going to eat till I've explained why I'm here. Here was a steward who put the work of his master first and foremost, even above eating and drinking. He wanted to make sure that this work was well done and sealed. It was only half finished, it was a good half, but it wasn't finished. And he wanted, before he ate, and before any of them sat down and ate, because they wanted to say, come on, we'll have a party. He said, not until I've sorted this out. The Lord's work comes first. Well, they got down to the meal. And then they said, well, we must ask Rebecca if she will come. Rebecca said, yeah, I'll come. Oh, well, let's have another sort of feasting. Let's have a week at least, perhaps 10 days. And we'll all rejoice because we're going to say goodbye to Rebecca. It's very sad. We probably won't see her again and she's going to go a long, long way. We must have... Oh, no, says the steward. It's all working out well for my master. I haven't got a telephone. Can't ring him. Can't make contact with him. I've got all this information. I know that it's good news. It's going to take us a week or two or three to get there. We must go now. We're not going to hang about and have all this celebration. There he was again, putting the Lord's work first. Not his pleasure, not his eating and drinking, but just that. Here was a steward who loved the Lord best of all, who loved his master, who loved the Lord's work, who did the things that were right, who could be trusted with all the right things, who prayed to the Lord for help, who got that help, who worshipped the Lord first and foremost as soon as he got that help. But then there was another wonderful thing coming up. He said to Rebecca, will you go with this man? Presumably she could have gone some other time. And she said, yeah, I'll go. And the point that comes over very strongly is that the Lord's steward is utterly trustworthy with members of the opposite sex. He had a number of men with him. And there was just Rebecca. Rebecca's nurse also came. I guess that Rebecca's nurse had been her nurse when she was young, but now she'd grown up, she was probably her lady-in-waiting. But there was just two of those ladies and all those men. But Rebecca didn't have any fear, nothing to worry about at all. Absolutely trustworthy and obviously trustworthy. And here we have the Lord's steward must be obviously trustworthy in every situation so that others know that they can trust. And off they went and they made their journey. And on the day that they were just arriving back home, Isaac was out in the field in the evening meditating and he saw the camels coming. And Rebecca said to the servant, who is this? Says, that's Isaac. It's the man you're going to marry. And she took a veil and she modestly covered herself just for then, while she should meet him first. And when the steward got to Isaac. He went to Isaac and he told him everything that he had done. I find that fascinating. Abraham had given him his orders and he reports to the son. It's all one, isn't it? If the father calls us, we report to the son. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all the Godhead. We come to the Father by the Son, but it's so clear as you read that story. He reports to the Son. No mention of reporting to the Father, because it concerned the Son. And he met the Son first. But it was all as one, all as if he was reporting back to the Father. Whether we talk to the Lord Jesus, whether we give an account of all we have to him, it's the same as bringing it to the Father. I finish with this, because it's a long day, and this is quite light-hearted, really, in a way. But we do give an account, and not even at the final day, but an account for the things we do as Christians. We do bring an account to the Saviour. It's nice to bring it every night. These things I've done in the service, I sought to do this and that, we did this. These things I wasn't very happy about. Will you make it good? But whatever, but we bring a daily account to the Lord of the things that we have done. The theme of being a faithful servant or steward of the Lord Jesus Christ is one of the most important New Testament themes. And I've always loved this particular story. I haven't told it particularly well, but I hope some of you will remember it. I just say you can go and read it tonight. It's Genesis chapter 24. Yeah, Genesis chapter 24, 67, I think, verses. Thank you for listening, and we'll sing our final hymn.